Welcome to the Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from Community Action Week.
Thanks so much for being here this morning, you guys. As Jeff said, we've got a lot going on, and we've actually been bombarding you with information these past couple of weeks, so I wanted to just quick take a step back and recap some of the goals that we've got, real tangible goals. So starting it off, here's a picture of our own Ted Saunders, who is a literacy volunteer at Echo Park Elementary, which is in District 196. That's your school, right, Sue? Yes. Ted's here pictured with a little girl who is one of 750 students at that school, 50% of which live below the poverty level. So that's a staggering number, and one way that we want to help those kids serve our community, encourage reading, is by donating 750 children's books for grades K through 5. So this wraps up this coming Sunday, the 20th. Keep that top of mind. Our next number is 1,000 pounds of non-perishable food, hygiene products like soaps, deodorants, toothpaste, baby diapers. We're collecting all those things as we do every year for 360 Communities, which also serves Dakota County. It's families that just need extra resources. So this wraps up next Sunday as well. So thanks for helping us make that a success. And then finally, 52. 52 was the original number when I started this morning. We've been chipping away at that, but it was 52 slots that we had available for our blood drive this Friday. We want to fill it up so we can get to our goal of saving lives. So the story in this picture, that's my son Toby a year ago. And it was part of a marketing campaign suggested by Dave Burkham with the caption, "Don't be a baby." So if Toby, as a nine-month-old, can muster the courage to, donate blood, can we get 52 or so people there? I think we can. So all that information is out in the atrium about what we've got going on. I'd love to chat with you all and tell you more about all of our activities. So now switching gears, I get to introduce you to Kristen Zellner. She is from the Minnesota Council of Churches, this is my third time saying it, but I forgot. She's works with the Refugee Services, and she's here to talk with you about their ministries, how they serve, and we're very excited that she gets to share with us about the refugee family we've been so anxiously awaiting the arrival of. So please extend a warm welcome to Kristen.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here with you. I've really enjoyed getting to know a few folks from Valley over the last several months, and it's nice to be with you in worship. Like Michelle said, my name's Kristen, and I come to you from MCC Refugee Services. We're an agency in Minneapolis helping persecuted people who are coming to Minnesota as refugees. We welcome about 350 people a year, and we also continue to provide supportive services to them in the years following their arrival. And it's exciting to be here because we're right on the edge of an adventure of stepping into welcoming a real family that's coming in just a few short weeks. And I'm really grateful for your willingness to step up and get involved and get to know this family. I want to give you a little background in case you don't know. Refugees are all people who have been persecuted by definition. They're people who've fled their homes with little or no hope of going back. They've been persecuted for who they are, not what they've done. So it might be their race, their religion, their political beliefs, or other deeply held beliefs. And it's usually delivered in the form of major world events, like civil war, genocide, ethnic cleansing campaigns, that are all targeting a group of people based on who they are. When they flee, they take just what they can grab at the moment, and they become some of the world's most vulnerable people. Very often they lose their citizenship of their home country, and they really have nowhere else to go. They might get to a refugee camp, but then they're really at the mercy of circumstance and have very little hope. They are often the widowed and the orphaned and the hungry in the world. I want to share with you just a little bit out of Matthew 25 from the parable of the sheep and the goats. It says, "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" And really, that's why we get involved, right? The chance to serve Christ in the face of the stranger, the widowed, the hungry. And refugees really, I think, exemplify this passage so well. And it strikes me fresh every time. It's kind of a mystery that God, that Christ as the king, would identify so closely with those who have been outcasts in society, and that he would let us serve him and meet him and see his face in that way. But it's true. And I just have to say, especially coming up on Christmas season, that maybe it's not so strange, because Jesus and his family became refugees not long after his birth, when they had to flee from Herod's attempt to wipe out a generation. So he really would have understood that. When refugees come to the U.S., they don't come with a lot in terms of material possessions. Maybe two bags a person is the maximum. I rarely see a family that owns that much. But they do come with vast life experience. They have wisdom to offer. And maybe even more, they have hope. And hope that is so great, considering everything they've been through. Hope that survived impossible situations. And hope that life will be better for them and for their kids in the United States. And so part of our job as a welcoming community is to help them sustain that hope, because it gets hard very quickly when you come to the U.S. and you're faced with poverty and language barriers and all the other barriers that sort of pile up against refugees. We need to help them to get through that. And it's through engaging in that relationship and getting to know people that we're changed. We may say that we're the welcoming community and that we're welcoming this refugee family, but it's a very sort of reflexive process. We get changed in the process, we get welcomed into people's homes, and we kind of see a little bit of that duality where God welcomes us at the table to communion, and he goes to prepare a place for us, but he also gives us the chance to offer welcome in his name to newcomers. It's a really life-changing experience, and I'm just really excited for you to experience it, as I've gotten the chance to over the last few years. Like Michelle said, we have a family coming. We've waited a long time for them. I know you've eagerly been waiting. It's been a very rocky year in terms of arrivals. It's been a lot of up and down, but they're finally coming December 7th. And so I'm excited to tell you a little bit more about them. The father's name in the family is Dulo, and they're going to be coming from Thailand. I'm actually going to just put up a quick picture of the refugee camp. It works. There we go. Dulo and his family are a Christian family. They're Karen people from Burma, which is also called Myanmar. And Myanmar has been going through what's considered the longest running civil war in the world. And it's run by a very oppressive military dictatorship that's made it their goal to basically eliminate the Karen minority in Burma. So they have been fleeing for decades across the border into Thailand. And the Dulo and his family are coming from Mela Camp, which is the largest of, I think, seven camps along the Thai-Burma border. And I actually went there last February, so I was excited to see they're coming from Mela, because I can show you a little bit, even though I can't show you pictures of the family. And it's built into the mountains, and it is a good deal warmer there than it will be here in December. just a couple more pictures for you. Dulo and his wife are in their early 30s. And they have four children, two boys and two girls. ranging from 1 to 11 in age. And Dulo, unfortunately, had a landmine accident in Burma. He stepped on a landmine and lost most of one of his legs. So he'll be coming, probably using a wheelchair. And so they'll face a little bit, you know, one more level of barrier in terms of getting around and accessibility. Still, they're one of very lucky few. There are about 15 million refugees in the world. Less than half of 1% of those refugees get the chance to resettle in a third country anywhere in the world each year. Less than half of a percent in the whole world. So it's a very small number of people who get the chance every year to start life in a new place. They've been through extensive interviews and security screenings and health screenings and more interviews and cultural orientations and a lot of waiting. They fled Burma in 1998. So they've been in a camp for almost 14 years, coming up in January. So it's been a long wait. And they're very, very fortunate to be coming and very fortunate to have such a welcoming community to say hello when they get here. When refugees come to the U.S., they can stay for the rest of their lives. They can become U.S. citizens. They can work. So their job once they get here will be just to start putting down roots and becoming a self-sufficient family, settling in. And so we'll be working very closely with you at MCC Refugee Services to welcome this family. So you'll start hearing calls, if you haven't already, to gather some household items. We'll be starting with four bare walls, and they won't have a lot of belongings to contribute, so we'll be setting up a home for them, going to the airport to welcome them, and then just working with them for their first 4 months after arrival, helping Minnesota to feel like home. So figuring out how to shop at the grocery store and take the bus and get a library card and sign up for all the programs that they're eligible for. And just to have a family and a home and to feel safe and secure. So I just want to thank you for being willing to jump in and just encourage you to keep praying for this family as they prepare to come to the U.S., that things would go smoothly in their processing, that they would travel safely, and that once they arrive, things would fall into place easily for them, and that they would really finally feel secure and at home and safe. Thank you so much for what you're doing, and I'll be around after for a bit if you have any questions. Thanks.
Okay, so we have another guest speaker this morning. I wanted to quick just let you know about what's happening next week. As I said before, we're wrapping up a bunch of things, and we're going to continue with our theme. Dave will be back to share a message with us, and also between JJ and myself, we'll have kind of a recap of not only the stuff we've done this week, but also other community action initiatives that we've done this past couple months. So we'll be glad to share that with you. I wanted to introduce Ted Tellman, one of the elders of our church. We had advertised that Sean Morrison was going to be here from Good in the Hood, and unfortunately he can't join us today. However, fortunately for us, Ted is a former member of the board at Good in the Hood, and it's an organization he knows and loves. And so he's going to be sharing with us about their mission and how, when we support Good in the Hood, what that looks like for supporting the Minneapolis community and beyond. So welcome, Ted.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you, Valley. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to give a shout out. Did you guys see all the food in the corner up there in the, atrium we call it now, right? You guys see that food? We must be up to 800 pounds already. See the books on the tables out there? So shout out to people who have brought in food and books. So just want to get that plug in there. Keep bringing food and books in. We can use all the stuff we get. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Good in the Hood. Some of you who know me may have heard a few of my conversations plugging for Good in the Hood in the past, but now I have an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about Good in the Hood. So our mission. We believe in changing lives just on the micro level, I guess you would call it. One life, one family, one community at a time. We don't start with big, huge projects. We don't start with big, huge amount of resources or people. We just try to keep it on the local, on the close, and on the micro level, and then we go from there. How do we do it? We mobilize resources. We identify what needs to be done. Figure out how we're going to get those resources. We mobilize volunteers. I'd like to mention that a lot of the volunteers that we have in all our programs are people that we have served in the past as clients. We have a lot of people who turn around and become volunteers, people that we have served food to, people that we've ministered to in the past. And we also have partnerships. One of our big partnerships now, our biggest partnership, is with Union Gospel Mission. Many of you may be familiar with Union Gospel Mission's work and ministries. Most of their work prior to this has been done in St. Paul. They are using us in Good in the Hood as kind of an outreach to develop their ministry in southern Minneapolis. And it's a great partnership for us because Union Gospel Mission's actually got even more resources than we have, so they help us out a lot. We appreciate that. Some of our programs. Food in the Hood is our biggest program. Holiday Help, that includes Thanksgiving baskets and toys for tots. Mobile Dental, or where we're assisting and providing free dental care for some of our clients. Books in the Hood, which is a literacy program, which is very similar to what we're doing here at Valley, where we have some volunteers who are actually getting some books and giving away books and reading to kids in an after-school evening program. Earlier with the literacy program in Echo Park, they were mentioning that the poverty level at Echo Park is 50%. Well, in some areas of Minneapolis, the communities are at anywhere between 80 and 90% poverty level. They don't have the money to buy books for their kids. So the kids aren't reading books after school. Sometimes they're not even having the resources to do homework. So it's great to get literacy instruction outside of school. Community barbecues. Community barbecues are one of the funnest things that we do. We fire up some grills, we get some hot dogs, and we just put out a bunch of signs on the day of, and we get some volunteers to walk around the neighborhood, invite people to come eat with us. It's a great opportunity to minister. We just invite people to pray with us, ask them what their needs might be, and try to service and help those and address those needs. So Food in the Hood, here's a little bit more detail in Food in the Hood. 6,000 families that we've served in 2011. 18,000 individuals. 200,000 pounds of food. 5,000 plus hot meals. Just to give you an idea of numbers, I want to say it was 2008 or 2009 when I began working with Food in the Hood. We were serving 30, 35 families. Now in 2011, we're up to somewhere around 120 families. 140. 140 families Tuesday night. So it shows you what a difference in need that we're having in these difficult times. Holiday Help. Thanksgiving baskets. Last year, 2,000 plus Thanksgiving baskets. Thanksgiving baskets are basically the basic ingredients for a Thanksgiving meal. Some families can't afford to sit down and eat lots of turkey or roast, stuffing and potatoes, the way we are traditionally accustomed to eating. So just that little thing can help a family and introduce them to the love of Jesus Christ. 500 families served through Toys for Tots. You guys are probably familiar with that program. We basically sign up families and try to provide each child in the family with two or three toys. 25 families sponsored through Adopt a Family. Adopt a Family is basically adopting a family for over the holidays, providing food and meal, the resources for a meal for that family, as well as gifts for the family. 50 backpacks with survival supplies for homeless youth. Some people don't realize that some of the worst people who are suffering from homelessness are youth between the ages of 17 and 19. Families have decided to kick them out for whatever reason. They're out on the street. They're staying at friends' houses. But they don't have access to laundry. and cleaning, and they also don't have access to toothbrushes. So basic sanitary needs. So one of the things we do with the backpacks, try to help with those needs and help provide those needs. Just a picture of some of our Thanksgiving food baskets. Next Saturday, we will be going up to Little Earth and be distributing Thanksgiving baskets. I welcome the opportunity to have some volunteers from Valley go along with me. I'll be going up there to Little Earth up in South Minneapolis. And anybody who wants to volunteer, give me a, I'll be out in front after the service and talk to me. What we do, what we believe in doing, feeding bodies and feeding souls. We take the opportunity when we give to also talk to people about why we're doing what we do. Because we love Jesus. Because we want to help teach other people about Jesus Christ. Let's adopt a family, a nice little picture. Mobile Dental, it's a wonderful van that comes. We've served 72 patients since May. That's a new program, great program. We bring the van to our food distribution. A lot of people are getting services that don't have any dental services at all. Community barbecues. You can go on our website and see the spring and summer barbecues that are scheduled. Wonderful opportunity for ministry. It's my favorite part of our ministry. It's just we have them almost every weekend in the summertime and the springtime. We bring together people by the means of the love of God. Just feed them hot dogs. It's a good way to start. We want to be a ministry that is for the community, not merely in the community. By that we mean we don't want to be a ministry that just we go in for one day and then we're gone. We want to be there. We want people to know us, know about us, and resources that we can bring, the help that we can bring. All right. What's going on with the clicker here? Ah, there we go. All right. I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. A lot of people are discouraged. There's so much need out there. Huge amount of need. Where do I start? What do I do? Well, you can plug in one person at a time. You can plug in with an organization like the Literacy Volunteers here at church. You can plug in with Good in the Hood. Don't feel overwhelmed. Feel like I can make a difference. Just one person. We encourage you to do that. Jesus often found one person in a crowd in need of a personal touch of his love. Who is your one person that he's asking you to reach? There's Terry. Terry's one of our volunteers too, by the way. Hides back there in the sound booth. This is our Tuesday food distribution. This is probably, especially the bottom one, it's probably at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't open the doors until 5 o'clock. People are lining up 2 or 3 hours before we open the doors in the rain, in the sleet, and the cold for the food that we provide. So, how can you contact us? How can you get in touch? Best way is to go to the website, www.goodinthehood.org. Website also has a calendar, gives you volunteer opportunities, tells you what we're doing, what we're about, what you can do to make a difference. Sean Morrison is the one who was supposed to be here, also founded Good in the Hood. There's our address and our phone number. Valley, you've supported us for 3 years now with volunteers and resources. Thank you so much for everything that you do for Good in the Hood. Thanks.
Valley just wants to make sure that we're not just handing you information. Community action, we do want you to be aware of what's going on, but we also want to encourage you to get involved. And you've heard a couple ministries that are opportunities. There's more out where the coffee normally is, and there's even more than that. So if you have questions, thinking, you know, how do I get involved? you know, that wasn't me, but I could do something like this. Talk to Michelle. Talk to some of the other leaders that are involved in the ministries out there. Let's close our service in prayer. Father, thank you for just blessing us more than we could ever imagine. Father, I just pray that you will help Valley be a church that is looking outside of our walls and focusing on the needs of our community as well as our own. Father, we have a special privilege and opportunity to touch the lives of others. Help us to not close our eyes to that, but to be your hands and feet. It's in your name we pray. Amen. May God be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do that, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around and find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.